Current State on WKAR, your weekly program of all things Capital Region, a look back on the week's news, and a look ahead to events here in the Lansing area and across Michigan. Hi, I'm Peter Wharf. WKAR's Katie Cook leads off this edition of Current State with a recap of this week's news regarding Lansing's sanctuary city status.
The Lansing City Council voted Wednesday night to take back their April 3rd decision to call Lansing a sanctuary city. The vote was 5-2, with the two votes against rescinding sanctuary status coming from Kathy Dunbar and Tina Houghton. Councilmember Jessica Yorko was not present. The meeting lasted nearly 4 hours and included several hours of public comment. Throughout the evening, a few attendees had to be removed from the room, and there was more disruption after the vote.
I'm going to leave in protest.
Around
all these spineless people.
Go! Go! You snowflake!
Sam Englott lives in Lansing and said that the council's decision was shameful.
I think that Lansing should remain a sanctuary city. It is, thanks to the mayor's executive order. I'm disappointed with the actions of the council tonight. I think it shows some weakness. I think it shows their lack of spine in a lot of ways. And I wish that tonight had really never happened.
It was a gross overreach to try and make it a sanctuary city.
That's Karen Macchiarlotti-Waldron. She came to the meeting with fellow members of West Michigan Patriots for Trump, a group based in Grand Rapids.
As you heard the president and several other people say, that isn't their place. That was the mayor's place to do that. That is not their resolution to do. They can say they're a welcoming city. And in that, I think that the people got what they wanted. They just didn't get the word they wanted.
Kathy Dunbar is one of the council members who advocated for Lansing's sanctuary status.
Ultimately, we're still a sanctuary city. Sanctuary is defined by practices. It's not defined by a term. I'm disappointed that folks changed their mind. I'm disappointed that I didn't get a clear answer as to why they changed their minds, but that's their right. I think it is a sad message to flip and flop the way that we did. I think it does expose us to scrutiny on a national level that is not going to be kind, but ultimately, we're still a sanctuary city.
For WKAR News, I'm Katie Cook.
The city of Lansing is dealing with the fallout of a short-lived political experiment. The city council voted on a resolution designating Lansing a sanctuary city on April 3rd. For some time, the city had informally considered itself a welcoming city, open to all immigrants. The semantics are tricky. There's no standard legal definition for either a welcoming or sanctuary city. Sanctuary has come to be shorthand for a community that, at its own peril, shields illegal immigrants from federal law enforcement. The Trump administration has warned cities considering the status that they could lose their federal funding. As you heard last Wednesday, the Lansing City Council rescinded that status. Some who oppose this action say the council caved to economic pressures. WKAR's Kevin Lavery spoke with Oscar Castaneda, the operations director for Action of Greater Lansing. He supports sanctuary status, and he's disappointed by the council's turnaround.
I'm disappointed because at this point, I truly don't believe that the majority of the members of the council really understand the meaning of sanctuary city. It took us months to make them vote in the resolution in the beginning, and now the Chamber of Commerce came, and with one letter in 1 week, they were calling for a special meeting. That will tell you about the special interest and who makes the decisions in Lansing. Number one. Number two, what I found was a lot of ignorance, real and plain ignorance from the people who were testifying. Just to give you an example, one woman said that immigrants come with diseases. This is absolutely nonsense. I hear a lot of people talking about come the right way, use the right systems, and as I said, it's ignorance. And I get it. I totally get it. I am even blaming myself. Probably part of my job should be to educate people about the ins and outs of the immigration system, which is totally broken. They say that they don't want to have the national ICE in Lansing. Well, with this whole process of the last week, they brought back the ICE of the whole world in Lansing.
The mayor of Lansing, Virge Brunero, issued his executive order, and that essentially tells police and city employees in Lansing to not press immigrants about their particular status. Are you saying that sanctuary city status essentially would have meshed with the mayor's executive order, that there would have been no difference?
It doesn't. It doesn't at all. It doesn't. The executive order is one thing. We were asking the city of Lansing to declare Lansing a sanctuary city, and they didn't. And they were having these arguments, and they were working in the language, and the strong language that we proposed in the beginning was totally watered down. And it was, as a matter of fact, the meeting 1 week ago, it was, if you look at the agenda, which is public information, it will say the name of the item in the agenda is approval of the welcoming city resolution. They never said the sanctuary, number one. So when they were about to approve this, the mayor beat them. And he created his executive order with the strong language that is. So when they came to the city council meeting, what they did is, oh, let's say that what the mayor did is a good thing. Bottom. And that was it. In one hand. In the other hand, you will never find a legal term or an official definition of what a sanctuary city is. So this is the beginning of the whole confusion. So no, they never technically declare Lansing a sanctuary city.
Do you think that there is legitimate fear in the council and also with business groups that becoming a sanctuary city by formal means, and I know you say that there really is no formal definition of a sanctuary city, but to pass a resolution stating themselves as such would jeopardize their federal funding, would jeopardize the city's economic standing with the federal government?
When you say legitimate fear, do you mean reasonable fear? Do you mean some fear of something that is likely to happen? If this is the question, my answer is no. They shouldn't be. Now, when you say legitimate, they seem to be genuinely concerned and genuinely worried. Who am I to read their minds and to see what they are really thinking about? Now, what I can tell you is, if you look at the history of the experiences that the American legal system had with sanctuary cities, the answer is no. It's totally unfounded. They just cannot. The federal government cannot cut funding just when they want to, the way they want to. There is in South Dakota, there is history of cases when the federal government attempted to take money away and they could not. So it's not that simple. And that was with a small thing, with some highway projects that they had a few years ago. Now, we're talking about several cities suing or defending themselves against the federal government. The chances of this happening are extremely slow.
So it's more likely to be a threat than an actual carried out promise.
That's correct. It's the boogeyman. And now what I believe, and this is, and again, I have no arguments and no evidence, is that doesn't even have nothing to do with the power of the federal government going over Little Lansing, Michigan. It has much more to do with local politics and local place. And if you think about it, it's the Chamber of Commerce. Who do you think that is funding political campaigns in this area?
At this point, with the community still polarized over this issue, where does that leave us now in terms of looking out for the rights and safety of immigrants, whether they're illegal or legal?
Well, from the practical sense, nothing changed. The executive order is still up. And from that perspective, we are in much better shape than 6 months ago. So you could say that was successful. It was a success for us. In the other hand, I was really happy saying Lansing is a sanctuary city and we are standing against unfair and inhumane policies. As long as the executive order is standing, we are much better now.
But is it still worth it to Action of Greater Lansing to keep pursuing official sanctuary city designation? I ask that because a month or so ago, a sanctuary network was formally created in Detroit and Kalamazoo among a number of mainly Christian Methodist churches. So they've taken that step.
But that's a whole different dimension. And we are working on that in sanctuary churches and sanctuary congregations. That's a whole different dimension. and the legal implications and the legal ramifications and bases are totally different. And we are working on that. And things might happen in Lansing Prison. Okay. But that doesn't have nothing to do with the city being declared a sanctuary.
Okay, thank you for the clarification on that. So that's running in parallel to what's happening at the city level.
That's correct. The question that people is asking also is, so where are you going now from here? And the answer is, we don't know yet. We need to, you know, it wasn't only action. There were some other groups, and we need to regroup, and we need to talk about things. As I said, I still think that was a win for us. It was not the win that we wanted, but it's a decent win, and we will see where we go.
Oscar Castaneda is the Operations Director for Action of Greater Lansing. Oscar, thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to talk to you.
For WKAR, I'm Kevin Lavery.
Its current state on WKAR. Picture an archaeological excavation, and you might imagine digging into the earth, carefully brushing away the sands of time. MSU's Jim Peck brings us an update on how some are peeling back the layers of history.
This is the sound of ancient Greece. Well, the sound of a drone heading up into the sky to grab pictures of ancient Greece. I'm in Isthmia, Greece, right along the main road that connected Athens and Corinth in the ancient world, still poised between northern and southern Greece.
No, I think you can do it. But
tomorrow you'll have targets there.
So I'll have targets on the other side of the road.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning.
I'm here with John Fry, an archaeologist from Michigan State University.
This is the sanctuary of Poseidon at Isthmia. And it's called Isthmia because it sits on the Isthmus of Greece. And it's dedicated to Poseidon because it makes a certain amount of sense. This is where the water comes in closest to the east and west to the land. It almost pinches off the land.
Fry is here with the drone, GPS, and a lot of other technology to create a precise map and, eventually, a 3D interactive digital model of this ancient site.
To make that meaningful, you have to give it proper scale, a proper sense of distance, a proper sense of the relationship of everything to itself and to other things. And in order to do that, we have to give it proper GPS coordinates.
We're standing in the middle of an important part of history. Not only is it the spot where one of the main ancient Greek athletic coliseums once stood, through the centuries it's been the site of battles, temples, and felt the footsteps of countless people and armies on the move. Archaeologist John Fry tells me he's fortunate to be here, doing this.
Because I think a lot of things are coming together at this amazing moment where the digital humanities, digital archaeology is encouraging us to be much more open, right? Much more willing to share everything at every stage of the process.
Specific location on Earth.
Making this research open and available is a big piece of this. He'll take all the drone footage and measurements he's collecting back to campus at Michigan State. He'll use it to bring a model of this site to life, one that other researchers and archaeologists can use now and on into the future.
It's one of the most well-known expressions in archaeology, that archaeology is destruction. You cannot dig the same hole twice, so you had better try as hard as you can to keep as careful records as you can. So you keep a field book, you take photographs, you do measurements, you catalog all the things you found, you say specifically where you found it. The idea is that you're trying to create a virtual archaeology. So somebody 10, 20, 50 years down the road can get back inside your head and can think about what you were thinking, can almost see the dig through your eyes.
No. Oh, then?
He tells me this is the new archaeology, where digging is done with technology, not shovels. And Fry says it's part of the new philosophy of research, where the findings are open sourced and shared, not held close and private. New ideas from the ancient world for the future. In Isthmia, Greece, for WKAR, I'm Jim Peck.